Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, this is the jam. This is the jam, isn't it? God, I feel like... I know, Doug, you want to say 99.
Yeah, I was all over 99.
God, felt I feel like 2000.
I'm going to go 2000. I don't know. My confidence level on this is like a 3. It's like taking the Falcons against the Rams. I'd do it, but I'd put it on a confidence level 3. I hope that's a good analogy for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's spot on.
Follow, what do you?
Well, as the song's playing, I'll look.
That allows us to enjoy the jam. Doug, it's Casey and JoJo. You know that?
No.
They were two members of Jodeci, and in 1991, they had the hit jam, Forever My Lady.
Released 1997.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's Boy, Casey from though. Casey and the Sunshine Man? No.
Casey and JoJo. Different people. Different ethnicities. Fun. Diversity.
JoJo White?
No.
He'd be on your Mount Rushmore of greatest basketball players to come out of St. Louis.
Did he pass away?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Listen to this jam. This is the wedding jam.
A wedding jam?
Yeah, this would be like the wedding jam.
You think Kyrie is the best Celtic since JoJo White? Full circle on NBA talk. Larry Pelicans Bird coming back. Better. Your thoughts?
Shuttlesworth, Pierce.
Larry Bird was better than JoJo.
Yeah, but I'm going back.
It's not a guard, though. Larry Bird wasn't a guard.
No, you didn't say guard. Best player since JoJo.
What about Shuttlesworth?
I think I said guard.
I just don't know. Boy, John Havlicek played some guard. He was kind of there at the same time.
Yeah, he was kind of a small forward, though, I mean, if we're being honest about it. If we're being honest with ourselves. Dave Cowens was an undersized center, but
yeah,
good.
6'9". But good. Redhead, yeah.
And how about Bill Walton coming back to the Celtics after, when he break that ankle 3 times?
Yeah,
and he had a good season for him.
He did, yeah. I think they won a title with that group.
And that Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
What about IT4 texting with Ainge last night before the game, making sure everything's cool?
What kind of athlete do you have to be able to play Major League Baseball and NBA basketball?
And be a scratch golfer, too.
Yeah. Well, that part, I suppose, doesn't surprise me if you're that kind of an athlete.
The NBA hadn't seen an athlete like that since Uwe Blopp.
Uwe Blopp only played basketball, and only because he was about 7 feet tall.
No, but he was also a world-class snorkeler.
He wasn't.
Yeah. Very good around the frog's hair.
They don't rate snorkelers.
Guys, that song reminds me of my Hoosier friend cruising Lindbergh in the late 90s. Fast Times, thanks. That's from Timmy Tom.
They still cruise Lindbergh down there in South County? I mean, that was a huge thing when I was in high school.
What's there to cruise?
Ronnie's?
Not much. They would just... Well, I don't think it was quite that far north.
And then what, you engage in digital play with an insecure hairstylist?
I never did it, but I had friends who went to Melville High, and they said that was a big thing to drive up and down South Lindbergh there.
They shut that down.
Did they?
Too much traffic.
Did you wear your Letterman's jacket when you would cruise?
I didn't cruise. I just told you. I didn't cruise.
I think you were covering up. Thing. I think you were
That was a Melville up. Thing.
The Panthers did it.
Did you have a Letterman's jacket?
Rashette New Jenkins?
Yeah, I did have a Letterman's jacket. Yes, I did.
You tough around the halls, like, hey, I'm on varsity. Stay out of my way.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, you know? Went to the mall.
Remember, they made us wear coats and ties on game days in basketball, figuring we wouldn't get in trouble on those days if we were better dressed. It does work. It absolutely works. Hmm. When people are really dressed up, they don't get in much trouble.
Yeah, we didn't do any of that for lacrosse. I remember, though, even mocking the whole tradition of it, we would tell the younger players that on game days we wear jerseys to school, and then all the young guys would show up in the jerseys and no one else wore them. We're like, oh, you're pretty psyched for the game, are you? Mm-hmm. Even mocking it back then.
Doug, Jesus Shuttlesworth was the GOAT. Thanks, P-Hump.
Okay. I don't even know who
Let me ask you a question here.
Ray Allen,
No hedging. You had one NBA guard. See, I said it.
He said it that
time. To make a 3-point shot. Who are you picking? Dog?
Steph Curry.
Of all time?
Probably so.
All time?
Well, probably so, yeah.
More than Pistol?
I think it'd be hard to beat Steph Curry, yeah.
Ray Allen?
You asked me who I would pick.
Yeah, but I'm trying to give you options because I think you were just bailing and you just took the
name
of... It's
not a bail to say Steph Curry.
I think you just wanted out because you knew you'd be cornered.
You don't think Steph Curry can shoot?
No, I think he's a good shooter. But I wondered about the other options.
I don't think I needed to think very long about the options.
What
about
Kerr?
That's who I'd pick.
He's hit some big ones in the playoffs.
I would take Steph Curry over Steve Kerr all day.
Just checking.
Thanks. John Sunfold.
I'm going to stick with Steph Curry.
Tim,
this guy can go forward, this guy can go backwards. Ah, yes, this guy. That was a scouting report on him.
Tim, this is the song you got close to during the middle school mixers. Trying with all my brain power to avert my adolescent boner. Thank you. It's Danny Tanner sharing a story from his youth.
Yeah, well, we really needed that.
Those high school dances, though, were nice. Of course, my day my day was Knights in White Satin. I was a little young.
Ah, Moody Blues, Jack. Ah, Moody Blues, Jack.
50 years anniversary of Knights in White Satin.
You'd get a little misty-eyed when they'd play that at the high school dance?
No, you just get a little chub and go to the other side of the gymnasium and find a chick. Huh. Dance.
Just any chick will do, or do you have a special gal?
I always had my eye on Betty Ryan.
Betty Ryan. Yeah.
Old Betty Ryan.
Yeah, her sister was better looking, but wanted nothing to do with me, so...
Guys, cruising went from the Home Depot at the bottom of Lindbergh. You like that, at the bottom of Lindbergh?
Yeah. I don't know what they're talking
And basically
about.
Stopped after Gravoy. The Lee-made dirtbag presence was strong on Friday nights, but you could usually find some broad willing to do just about anything for a bag of seeds and stems. Thanks. That's from Greg Oden's Stovepipe.
I know that was a big thing there for a while. I never did any of that cruising.
Doug, Pac got into a brawl at MGM wearing a 3-piece suit.
Word.
Just minutes before he was shot.
Hmm. Why did he get in a brawl?
Who knows?
Was that one of the Tyson-McNeely fight, I think?
There was a whole big West Coast, East Coast thing. You remember that beef? They never squashed it.
That's right. Yeah. I'm still in the middle of it with the PFG.
I remember that fight. I don't believe there was a suit involved.
Hmm.
People don't usually get in fights when they're wearing
khaki pants
suits.
And boots. T-shirt and a bunch of change, I believe.
Okay. Here's Mike Francesa's old show open.
Is open. Okay.
Mike's on. He's ready to go. On the Fan. New York Sports Radio. Mike's on. Mike's on. He'll get you the sports anywhere that he can. Mike
Francesa on the Fan. Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM. WFAN. From the studios of WFAN, this is Mike's on Francesa on the Fan.
Oh, I like it a lot.
No,
I like it a lot.
Is that old? Yeah. That wasn't like at the end.
I like that a lot.
Because it was like the guy was trying to be soulful in the jingle. You know what I mean? Like when the guy tries
I imagine that was Alan Thicke. He did all of those.
I think it was that guy from American Idol that they overdid it with the Chevy commercials.
Oh, Soul Patrol. Yeah.
Soul Patrol. Taylor it Hicks. Might have been him.
That commercial was on like every other spot was that for about a year.
I hope he got rich and set for life off that. Because that would kill your
Probably
career.
Did.
If you're overexposed before you even become a star.
Those network commercials, they get paid every time it's on.
Yeah, except if you have a contract with American Idol, which has a contract with the car company, maybe you don't make full boat what you're supposed to make.
Still made something. It's better than making all of nothing.
Guys, is anyone else aroused by that open to Francesa's show? That was fantastic. That's from Fred Astire.
It was a nice open.
Sound like Asia.
Nice old school open.
Guys, I've lived in New York City for the past year. That was definitely the intro through the end of his time in December.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't imagine Francesa going, let's change up the open.
No, you wouldn't
but
change
I could hear,
that.
I could see someone at the station saying that.
You wouldn't
consultant,
change that.
Consultant boys in.
It was almost like a parody of, it's like a wedding singer guy.
That's what you want.
Let me hear that. Let me hear part of it again. I don't hear all of it. Plow, you fade out when you think it's right.
on. He's ready to go. On the Fan, New York Sports Radio. Mike's
on. New York Sports Radio. Singer said, you know, you got to feel a connection to the show open.
Some singer was just happy to finally get a job as a studio musician.
He was going
to
belt it out.
He was going to sell that open.
Jason Barrett said, if you're going to be singing show opens on a jingle package, you have to have a connection to the song.
He sang his heart out for that.
And put a gif on it.
Barry Manilow got started with jingles, you know.
Which jingle?
McDonald's.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. You deserve a break today. That was Barry Manilow.
Michael Kay. You know Michael Kay?
Yeah.
He calls Yankee games, doesn't he?
Yeah, I've been on his show. So what station is he on in New York City? Francesa was on The Fan.
Oh, he's on the one that has like a number associated with it?
I mean, this is like a, yeah, this is, in the background was Yes Network, so I wasn't
I thought he was actually on a station in addition. So this is from the Yes Network. Maybe it was an interview on the US Network. I don't know. Here's Michael Kay, and he's not happy with Francesa.
Rips him.
First of all, we don't have to pay homage to competition that never really was nice to us. Number two, sports radio was not invented by Mike and Chris. Bill Mazur, John Sterling,
Art Rush Jr.
There would be correct. Sports talk, my friend.
And by the
so,
way,
I mean, yeah, he had an iconic career and all that. But for those that think that we should genuflect, for someone who, by the way, has not retired and will begin working somewhere else on April 1st, I mean, it's ridiculous. And also, Mike was never kind to us, never gracious about his success. So for us to sit here and like bow down because he decided to leave his job at FAN, I mean, I've had arguments with people on Twitter about this. Sorry, that's not happening. Mike never showed any respect to us going this way. To say that we wouldn't have the job, that's nonsense. And we're supposed to sit there, oh, kumbaya, oh, he's great. Please. Nothing but disdain and lack of respect coming from the other way. And all of a sudden, because he's leaving FAN, we're supposed to deify him? I'm sorry, that's not the way it works, people. You know, respect goes both ways. If it doesn't come one way, it's not going to go back the other. Called the pea shooter. Called the, oh, they'll never get close to me. Well, the final book of his life. He finished second, we finished third. I don't know. I was pretty good math. That's close.
Not bitter at
Kill
all.
Him.
Michael Kay is on ESPN Radio in New York.
Well, who was number one? If those guys were two and three.
I think our podcast
nosed in there.
The one with Bo Hart, I know, did very well.
Okay. Well, they've got a little feud going up there, haven't they?
No, not really, because he's out.
Well, sounds like he's coming back in April.
Where is he coming back to?
He just said he's coming back to work
in
April.
They're talking about he can't work for 3 months after he left The Fan. So in April, he'll be able to work again. There's no reports that he's going to, but he's never said he's going to retire. So this is what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems, and I don't know, because I've never experienced anything but graciousness and class, but it seems like sports radio might be a rough and tumble industry. I mean, we've never seen any of the bad stuff.
No. I'm surprised to hear Michael Kay, though, who is very successful, all worked up.
I agree.
That usually comes from, like, you know.
Someone buying time.
And I did. This was about 3.5 minutes, I think. I didn't cut the his co-host basically agreeing with them and kind of regurgitating the same take Michael Kay has. So they were on the topic for longer than a minute of that clip. So it seemed, and you could tell on his face while he's saying it, he has a grudge with Mike Francesa. I don't know what happened, but he does not like him.
Let me tell you, respect is a two-way street, my friend.
Nice. WFAN ranked second in afternoon drive for the last full ratings book of Mike Francesa's era, according to the data released Tuesday. From 3 to 7 p.m., WFAN averaged 6.6% of the audience in the key demographic of men 25-54. That trailed only WLTW, also known as Light FM, at 7.1, helped as usual by its holiday music format.
Oh, I'd like that.
Which this year began on November 20th.
There isn't time you'd rather listen to music than to hear a bunch of guys blather
Christmas
about
Christmas music, Doug.
I like Christmas music.
Do you have it on all the time?
Not all the time.
My wife puts
it
on in the car all the time
during the holidays. Yeah.
There's only, if you're being real about it, there's only 35 or 40 Christmas songs. So after a while, you get sick of it.
They play adult contemporary as well, 106.7.
Yeah, it's like KZK started Christmas music in like June.
and the 35 songs, just rotate them.
You're right, because I turned it on Christmas Day when I was wrapping presents and baking. And I mean, I would hear Karen Carpenter, and then 30 minutes later, I heard Karen Carpenter again.
Ooh, did remix.
You? Like 10 songs they were playing in rotation.
Yeah, that's why Hanukkah songs are more popular, because there's thousands. What are they? Thousands of Hanukkah
Sing one
songs.
Of them.
Adam Sandler is about the only one I know.
Yeah.
All right, that's the only one.
Doug Jerry Recco's filling in for Carton. Greg Giannotti is going to become permanent morning host. And then Joe Bonino's doing...
Wow, like Joe Bonino. It's like Goodfellas.
A lot of Italians doing shows up there. I read
Jimmy
the,
Two Times is going to be doing Afternoon
awful
Drive.
Awful at it. Stop trying to find another guy. There's one guy who can do it, and that's it. He makes sense. He's orderly. He does it right. Everyone else is dreadful.
Who's he talking about?
What was he talking
about? Dean Blandino, dude.
Oh, Dean Blandino, dude.
If you look at the, I think Inc. I don't know what this company is, but every year they do their top 35 sports talkers in America.
I saw that Bernie was on it.
Bernie Miklas, Doug, number 27. I haven't seen us, but I assume we're in the also receiving votes.
Probably didn't show up anywhere.
Well, this company does it, but Jason Barrett helped him out.
How do you know that?
It said it on the thing. We also want to thank Jason Barrett, who covers sports media with his help in this this vote.
Would anybody else even have an idea of what sports talk shows are on in the country? Well, or care?
Well, Boston, both stations in Boston, WEEI
Boston
and the other one.
And Philadelphia. Yes. Have outstanding sports talk radio.
Well, Chicago, every one of their shows.
Dallas has outstanding sports talk radio.
Well, there were two shows from Omaha in the top 35.
You suppose
who the hell is listening to
Omaha? Might have worked for one of them.
Yes, what do they talk about there? I mean, obviously they talk about Nebraska but what the
football.
Hell? I know, but
Nebraska football.
Two they got the AAA. They got the AAA Royals there, so maybe they talk.
But to have two stations in the top 35 in the country from Omaha.
Maybe the guys are really talented.
Maybe they're good. Be sure to check out the piece this week written by Monique Medina.
Maybe somebody's consulting for that station in Omaha.
Are you aware if that's the case?
I said maybe. I didn't say I know that.
I bet you could find that out.
Oh, I could find it out. But if you look at the release, and it has Jason Barrett. Well, actually, Barrett posted it because his name was mentioned as helping. But it says, if you want to make this list next year, contact me. That's what it said. And his phone number's there. God.
Doug, it's, you know what it is? It's quite a little industry.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, do you have any interest at all in the sports talk radio going on in other towns? Any reason
I'm
at
not
all?
Sure. I'm...
I mean, we play for Francesa still, and he hasn't been on the air in 4 weeks.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Listening to Christmas music, wrapping presents, and baking Christmas morning. Iggy, you sound like a bored 50s housewife. Do you wear a checkered apron, too? That's from the Ball Boy Bandit. The Ball Boy Bandit.
I was in the Christmas spirit. Sorry.
I feel bad for you, Iggy, because it's almost like...
Don't ever
no
feel
matter...
bad for me, please.
No, but in this way. I don't feel bad for you on any sort of deep level, because you're very contented with... You know, who you are and comfortable with who you are.
Okay,
but no matter what you do, you get criticized. If you say something that's creepy, I call you out, people. And then you just said something that's normal and full of holiday fest, and you got called out for that.
Does that shock you?
That you get called out for
stuff?
Well, you just said it's like a normal thing. You were doing the Christmas thing.
I know. That's just par for the course. Doug can say something... ordinary, but I stopped and got gas today, and somebody wants to bang him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it happens to the beautiful people.
The most beautiful breast I've ever seen, and then a penis.
Mm. That wasn't me you were talking about.
That was you. I think that was you talking.
I don't think so.
Doug, Derek Gould is going to join us here in a matter of seconds on the appliance discounter phone lines. And coming up at 9:15, Kelly Chase will be with us, brought to you by Petromart. Blues in VGK tonight.
That's the Knights, Doug, and they're carrying an 8-game winning streak.
Do you have a problem with the fact they call them the Vegas Golden Knights as opposed to the Las Vegas Golden? Do you have a problem?
I have no problem with that. No.
Interesting.
I think it's interesting.
It's not that interesting at all.
I think it's interesting that their home record is like 17-2-1.
Yeah, you can kind of put two and two together.
Nobody can win.
What are you saying? Mo Green had a hand in that?
No, I think maybe people enjoy themselves a little too much when they go there.
Yep. But I mean, you see teams give up goals like never before when they head to Vegas. Doug.
Mm-hmm. Usually, expansion teams have trouble scoring. This team is a juggernaut, as they would say, Doug.
Yeah, they're a very good team.
A lot of guys are big for them.
Oh, well, they've got a number of guys. David Perron, he's big for them.
They have a number of guys that are David Perron? Is that what you just
said? They have one guy named David Perron.
Oh, yeah. I remember them. I remember him.
Guys, knowing who is the number one sports talk radio host in the country is kind of like knowing who the sixth grade class clown is at Sappington Elementary. Thank you.
It's not true.
The hipster of Tower Grove South. Hey, look, everybody. It's Derek Gould on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Derek, we were talking about this in the first part of the 7 o'clock hour. This strikes me as one of the most odd off seasons that I can recall, where you have so many of the top free agents unsigned, and we're in the first week of January. Is that your assessment as well, or are we forgetting other years?
No. I think that's entirely accurate. It's a very curious and slow moving and odd off season in a lot of different ways. I mean, you're right. I mean, you look at the most prominent free agent signing is what, Wade Davis at this point, and you still have Martinez, you still have Hosmer, you still have Arrieta, you still have Darvish. That's just usually not the case. If there was one or two lingering out there into January, you would go, oh, well, that's Scott Boras, and that's how he plays the game. But just so many, and there's even some teams that don't have resolution on whether or not they want to trade guys. You look at what Toronto is, and where the Blue Jays are kind of positioned. I think it's just a very odd offseason all the way around.
I never believed that the Cardinals were totally comfortable with their starting rotation as it sits today. Right. Even though they said that, and then you read reports that they may be in on Arrieta, but I was under the impression, and maybe I'm wrong, that they're not going 4 years on a starting pitcher because they don't feel they have to. They figured the young guys will be. So is there any truth to that, or where is Arrieta and where are the Cardinals in terms of where he is?
So their interest in Arrieta, I mean, really, it kind of speaks to what Tim's talking about, how dull this is, but it hasn't really changed. I mean, their view, you're right about their view of the starting rotation. I mean, their public comments are that they're confident with it. Does not mean that they wouldn't include, or look for a starter. They recognize that they could benefit from improving the rotation and bringing in a known quantity. However, they also have always had and continue to have a perception or a feel that pitching will always be there. They can find a pitcher, and this market has done nothing to prove them wrong. From the get-go, and this is what I mean by boring, from the get-go they saw Arrieta as a possibility if his market softened. I think we've even talked about it as a group on this show. What would that mean? Well, it would mean shorter years. It would be in a spot where the Cardinals would be more apt to offer more money or a higher AAV, a higher average value for a shorter deal, because they don't want that 8 year. They don't want that 5 year commitment, and neither do the Cubs. I mean, look at how the Cubs have approached this. They don't want to go far beyond 4 years to bring Arrieta back. Teams want shorter deals, and they're willing to pay a higher premium for it, especially when it comes to pitchers. They don't want the commitment to the out years, especially for an aging pitcher who they don't know. You're not going to see many teams make that commitment to pitchers from outside, free agent pitchers. It's just not the way this market is going. And if a guy like Arrieta or some of these other starters are out there and that market, recedes a little bit for them so that they're out there looking for higher dollars over shorter term, then the Cardinals are in a position to pounce, and they would be interested in doing so.
I always got the impression, too, that the Cardinals felt like the free agent market for one of the guys that could close was going to be a little out of hand. And I think Wade Davis's contract underscored that. Then you think the Cardinals are going to double back to Colome. And we haven't heard anything on that front with the Rays.
Right. No, I throughout this whole thing, I've been trying to be pretty candid that I had no real feel ever, to be honest, whether the Cardinals were interested or not in Wade Davis. Just could not kind of get a solid read on it, either from people who should be in the know, very few of whom actually talk, as you know, Kat. And, you know, even in like general descriptions of available players, you know, I never really... None of them really sort of hinted at that Wade Davis. And one of the reasons why, maybe is proven by the contract, is that this perception was that, you know, if you signed Wade Davis, you would be signing him paying for saves he just had, not for saves he's going to bring to you. The Rockies are being very aggressive. They're going to have the highest priced bullpens ever. You can see their approach and how they're trying to tame Coors Field and trying to beef that up to help their starting rotation, and they're spending handsomely to do so. The Cardinals have been allergic to such deals with closers. Now, you know, their interest in Greg Holland is well-reported. I've reported it. Others have reported it. Nightingale's reported it. I'm sure you guys have talked about it on the air. You know, now, what's it mean for his market and where he fits in? I mean, no one was really expecting him to be Wade Davis, but Wade Davis has set a price for what closers can get. And then there's Addison Reed out there who has, and then a few other guys who have all the trappings of a guy who could be a closer and none of the past history that you have to pay for. And that is appealing to the Cardinals. So I don't think it's column A or nobody. You know, there's also Toronto in this. Where does Ozuna fit? If Toronto pivots, it does appear, you look at reports and you see who's still available. It does look like Toronto feels that if they can get a free agent or so, maybe that they can be in contention in that division or for a wild card. Now, if, say one of the free agents goes elsewhere, then maybe they pivot and they have a different look for the coming season. And are willing to trade. So I think it's not column A or B. At this point, there's still options out there, and that's what makes this offseason so odd. Is the Cardinals could end up with the pieces that they want. It's just a matter of waiting on some kind of catalyst to get it going. They're obviously not the one that makes the decision on the direction that they go next. They're waiting for some other move to happen.
They pretty much have to do something for a closer, don't they? They don't really have anybody on the roster right now that would fill that bill, do they?
No. Well, Luke Gregerson,
He's done it.
He has done it. They would make the argument that he has, but I mean, I think what you hear a lot of, Doug, is if they don't add somebody or if they haven't added somebody by winter warm up, we're going to hear all about how competition is the fruit of finding a closer, and competition is going to make them stronger, and competition that, and competition that, this, and they'll put that face forward on the thing and talk about how they're very comfortable with the roster they have. Meanwhile, the front office would very much like to give the manager a certainty in the ninth inning. They know how he runs a bullpen. They know how bullpens are utilized best. They obviously are bringing Mike Maddox in to help with the pitching decisions. But when the Cardinals have had their most success with the bullpen, it's when they've had, quote-unquote, you know, what Matheny calls a recipe. And basically that's a paint-by-numbers for the final three innings. And they don't have that right now. And they want to get it. They don't have it.
The corner infielder that has some pop, you know, if the Cardinals are looking to add another bat. I'm talking about an addition. He's there, and I think he's sometimes best served being a guy who can plug in anywhere. And perhaps getting a ton of at-bats isn't maximizing what he can do. But I know a lot of folks are looking for another bat, and the corner infield position would seem like an upgrade. But that Hosmer contract, as it's reported, 7 years, at least $140 million with two suitors. And I know that there's some Cardinal fans that would be interested in Hosmer, not under those terms,
not
right?
Their money.
Yeah, right. But still, 7 years with that kind of money, I just don't think that would be a fit for the Cardinals at all.
Right. Yes,
you agree with that?
Yeah, I think. I think they've been they've been pitched pretty good on the fit of Eric Hosmer and whether or not Hosmer has fondness for the Cardinals or whatnot, but they've been pitched pretty good on his fit here. You know, his age, him entering the prime of his career, the style of player he is, the position he plays, the consistency that he brings to that position as far as durability goes. You know, he's had back and forth seasons as far as production goes, coming off a career year. So, you know, you're kind of paying at the peak of his cost for Hosmer. All those things are definitely, you know, you can see the fade outline of a fit, and the Cardinals have been, you know, the agent has tried to sell the Cardinals on that, but, you know, this is the kind of contract that you have for a core player, not a complementary player. It's the kind of contract that the Cardinals would go beyond and did offer beyond to try to get Hayward. So you can kind of see why, but you know, the Cardinals have had kind of a consistency of looking at Hosmer, the guy who would – deepen their lineup, bring a certain starter to first base, but not a guy who's going to change their lineup. He would add to it, but they have a guy a lot like Hosmer, you know. So they would just be adding a similar wrinkle to the lineup.
And the Hayward comparison drives me crazy because it's about context. The Cardinals found themselves in a situation, you know, where they were all of a sudden they needed that position because of, you know, an unfortunate circumstance. That teams do different things based on the context of where they are. This is a different ball game, right? I mean, that's not.
And they didn't have a guy like him. I mean, you know, they didn't have a guy like Jason Hayward. I mean, you think back to 2014, right? And the tragedy that you're talking about is the car accident that killed Oscar Tavares and his girlfriend there in the Dominican Republic during the World Series. You know, and that did leave the Cardinals looking for a right fielder. And you can go back and look at some of the things that they did. And even, you know, at that point in time, the thought was maybe that they would make it, or that they had some internal thought of that they could make a play for Stanton even then. And then that would be the solution for the right field. The Marlins came out pretty quickly at that point and said that they're going to keep him and that their intent was to resign him, which they did to the ludicrous contract that they just had to divest themselves of this offseason. But that took the Cardinals in a different direction, and Hayward was coming up with 1 year to go before free agency. The Cardinals saw an opportunity to get a right fielder, a guy who was a transformative defensive player and who they felt had his best years ahead of him offensively if he could buy into a few things. But they remember that, I mean, one of the big calls then for Mozeliak was to get more athletic, to get more, you know, to push more towards a run prevention. And Hayward fit all of those characteristics. And they thought, all right, well, here's a guy, too, who get him in, have a whole year to recruit him and make him fall in love with the place and stick around. You know, it's a lot different when you're talking about just a free agent that you're doing. I merely meant to make the comparison between the age and the size of the contract, not the player themselves.
With so many free agents still out there and the market's so slow, do you think it's possible that a lot of these teams have just said, it's too crazy now, this is it, we're just not going to pay $150 million for players who are good, not great?
Yes.
So perhaps we've hit the ceiling on the market. I mean, salaries can't keep going like this forever, or in another 5 years, these guys will be making $50 million
a year. Well, I think we've hit a lull, the calm before the storm. I mean, 12 months from now, we're not talking about the same market. You're talking about a market that has gone absolutely bonkers. If anything, I think, you know, the baseball teams are a bunch of squirrels storing their nuts for next winter. I mean, that's what's happening, is you see teams positioning themselves, whether it's the Dodgers-Braves trade or some of the conversation coming out of the Yankees about how they don't want to spend some of the contracts that they have made, or the Red Sox reluctance to kind of go, you know, not to just throw money. I mean, look, the Red Sox and J.D. Martinez, is there a more obvious connection out there in baseball? And yet that hasn't happened. So why? Well, you know, the Red Sox see a situation where they don't have to rush to throw cash at the next available player, even the most obvious available player. and I think you see a lot of teams making decisions based on two fixed points. One, this luxury tax, which flies in the face of the fact that every team is making money, but they just don't want to lose the draft picks or pay the penalty as a result of this. And then next year's winter. Next year's winter is going to be bonkers as far as the salaries some of these players are going to command, the number of teams interested in these players. You're going to see a shift in baseball, maybe that we've only seen in basketball, because you're going to see players wanting to unite on star teams because everybody's going to be able to offer the same amount of money. So it's going to be so much teams or players positioning, not just for the best deal, but for the best deal from the place they really want to go.
You know as well as I that sometimes as a media guy, you're told stuff by folks in the know for a fact, not necessarily the truth. How do you think the Cardinals balance? Because I've been told, look, they understand the fan base is unhappy. They really, deep down to their core, believe that not making the playoffs is unacceptable and it can't happen again. So how do they balance perhaps trying to keep some money ready to go for when the big ticket guys are out there next year and improving enough to be a legitimate force this year? How are they balancing that, do you think, in terms of the way they're looking at things?
How should they or how are they?
How are they?
I think they are pragmatic. I know that comes as a shock. I mean, that might actually be on their business cards, the Cardinals' pragmatic baseball team. I think they recognize that the next year might be a bonanza for some teams, but not them. And that they should make moves accordingly, that they can't plan on the future of a player saying yes when the entire market is involved, when other teams at bigger cities with shinier baubles are also going to be in play for those teams or for those players. So I think they need to be realistic. And I think, you know, well, I know. Actually, I know. I don't need to say I think. I know that Hayward was a reminder of that, and that some of the no's that they've gotten over the last few years are a reminder of that. And we already see how this team has looked at making moves as a response to it. You know, their big thing this winter was making a deal for a Marlins outfielder. Why? Well, because they saw opportunity there with the Marlins trying to shed contracts. They saw the access to three possible outfielders, not one of whom they had been able to develop, not one of whom is usually available to them via trade or to anybody via trade. And this is a key point, not one of whom the Cardinals felt if they became a free agent, they would be able to sign. So you have to make the trade. And I think you're seeing, I don't need to say a thing. I know you're seeing a team adjust to a new way or a more successful way of acquiring and then maintaining talent, and that's via trade.
You got Bryce Harper and Manny Machado coming out next year. Who are some of the other guys that are going to command these mega deals?
Well, Clayton Kershaw is pretty good. Dallas Keuchel will get a lot of money. Josh Donaldson will be available. I think he got another year before as Anthony Rendon. Now there's a guy. See, the Cardinals. You know, if you're talking about like a free agent in the Cardinals' wheelhouse, he might be an interesting guy in that regard. What else? I mean, there's a galaxy of them, Doug.
What about a guy that scares me is Moustakas, who had his breakout year last year, but has really had some ups and downs as a major leaguer. I know a lot of people love that corner outfield, corner infielder with power, but
yeah,
I don't even know how many years he's going to get. What's he looking for, and what teams are in on him? And I'm hoping the Cardinals are no idea.
Yeah, no clue. I mean, I ask about it and everything like that, but he's so far down the list as far as Boris clients goes that you don't really hear much. Much about it. I mean, you know, the Yankees would be one team. But, more opportunistic at that point. Pretty good fit for him there when you think about just a place where he could go play third and then just mash, not be a featured player or not be like a cornerstone player, but you know, he's not going to command that kind of salary then either. I think, one of the things we're seeing is a real awareness in the marketplace of paying for future performance, not paying for past deeds. And that's the hedge fund aspect that exists with every front office these days. They see players the same way, and it's changed how agents pitch players to teams. It's changed how players can expect to fit with teams. Look at like even Hosmer, right? You're hearing a lot about from teams and from the agent about how he's a fit for a culture, how he was part of a team that rebuilt and became a champion, and these things that are harder to put a metric on, they're trying to build that as part of his value, which is fair. I mean, it's true, and it's entirely fair to do so, but that's detaching it from the stats. And with Moustakas, you're not hearing like a narrative being sold about him, but that's partially because he's further down the list. The number of teams that need a third baseman like him are minimal. And it wouldn't be a shock if he had to settle for like a 1 year kind of pillow deal, or if he returned to the Royals, if that's how this ends up, where he's the one that goes back.
Derek, usually a lot of free agents have signed, a lot of trades have been made. Does it really matter if these things are done in December as opposed to the first week in February?
Not until they play games in January.
It makes our winter slower, I guess.
I think some people who write me emails or fans who get on me, I'm sure they think that I'm being flipped, but I'm not. I mean, Cardinals don't have to play a game on Monday. It's about the team they take into the last week of March. It's not about the team that they have on the first week of January. And a lack of a transaction does not mean a lack of activity. And there's a lot of examples of this. You go back to the 04 team. Who was the starting second baseman at the on January 5th?
Bo Hart, hard worker.
Yeah. Well, was it Tony Womack? No. How'd that turn out? I think that, you go back to the 2010 team. Who was the starting left fielder on January 5th?
Doug?
Hell, I don't know.
So Taguchi?
Oh, is that who it was?
9-9.
No, I don't know. It wasn't. They had traded Chris Duncan already. I don't know who it was, but, 2 weeks later, it was Matt Holliday. You go back to, what was it, the 2000, oh boy, now it's failing me, but, on March 1st, the opening day starter was not Kyle Loesch. But Kyle Loesch was in the mix in the middle of March, and because of rainout, was the opening day starter. So, and he had a real good season, you'll recall. So, I mean, teams can improve, and if anything, this market has it's played like you'd expect a market dominated by Boris clients would play out, and also how you'd expect a market dictated by teams who view players the way the Cardinals do would play out. There have been some curious twists. Addison Reed stands out. Why exactly he's not signed yet, I'm not quite sure there's a good answer. It's very confusing. But otherwise, you just see how, the Cardinals don't mind being patient. They'll choose patience over making a passionate decision. That's their whole thing. They would rather be data driven than emotional with moves, and this is the market that creates.
Derek Gould with us here in the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Always appreciate the time, Derek. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Gould.
Derek Gould with us on the appliance discounter. Phone lines, Kelly Chase will join us coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After here on 590 The Fan KFNS.